You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
In Play Radio is staying late for the NFL every Sunday. A specialist team of tipsters are on air from 6 until 1 a.m. bringing you the best bets every week. We'll also have experts from both sides of the pond in the build-up to the big games. In Play Radio from William Hill. Your eyes on a world of sport.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the NFL podcast as we get set for Wildcard Weekend in the National Football League. Dave Callner here in the studio in the UK, ready to chat American football with Beating the Book podcast host Gil Alexander stateside, all geared up for Wild Card Weekend. First of all, a warm welcome, a good morning to Gil Alexander, who is standing by live in Washington, D.C. Good morning, Gil.
Good morning, Dave. I am geared up. That's a good way to put it. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, sir. I'm looking forward to this weekend immensely. One of the best footballing weekends on the schedule. And your Washington Redskins in the playoffs and hosting a game in the National Football League postseason as well, Gil. It must be an exciting time for you stateside.
Yeah, I don't know what your equivalent is in, say, the Premier League. But imagine a team that has only been in the playoffs or in any contention to win a title, you know, 5 times in the last quarter century and has only hosted 3 playoff games. That's what the Redskins are. So, yes, an aberration, if you will, hopefully a sign of things to come in the future. We'll see.
We'll talk about that matchup very shortly. Last game on the slate, that one, the Green Bay Packers at the Washington Redskins. But you've been traveling around the clock because you've managed to grab a ticket for the game.
Yes. I flew back. I was visiting my parents for the holidays. I flew all the way back to the West Coast. And then one of my buddies said, hey, I have a ticket for you here. And I was like, oh, really? So I just flew back across country. So some may say I'm crazy, but I'll suggest that I'm just a big football fan. And so I'm excited to go to the game this weekend. It is, I agree with you, though, this is maybe my favorite weekend of the season. Love this weekend. It's awesome. 4 good matchups.
We have indeed, and we'll start with the Kansas City Chiefs at the Houston Texans. This is the first game live Saturday, 9:35 p.m. UK time, and the Chiefs are 10-17 to win it. The Texans are 6-4. The Chiefs -3 on the spread is 5-6. The Texans +3 with reduced juice at even money. And the points line is set pretty low here at 40. 10-11 the under and 10-11 the over. And I think it's easy to see why the points line has been set there, Gil, because this is expected to be a defensive battle with two of the best leagues defensively going head-to-head to open Wildcard Weekend. And, Gil, there are some really special talents on both sides of the ball defensively here.
Absolutely, and it should be 40 points. And I think the spread is probably where it ought to be, generally speaking, as well. I think Kansas City is justified as a 3-point favorite after winning 10 games in a row. But, you know, the one thing that I can say about all 8 of these teams, well, no, not all 8, 7 of these 8 teams, very streaky. This is about the streakiest bunch of wild card teams as a group that we've ever had. And Kansas City and Houston are really no different. Kansas City started 1-5. They won 10 in a row, franchise record. And the Texans started 1-4 and then 2-5 before winning 7 of their final 9. And both teams share the similarity that they lost their big running back early in those early bad streaks. The Chiefs lost Jamaal Charles to a torn ACL in week 5. The Texans lost Arian Foster to a torn Achilles in week 7. But defense, absolutely, that is the headliners, with apologies to the Chiefs' offense, because Alex Smith has been great this year, and the Chiefs' offense has certainly performed above expectations. But yes, the Chiefs' defense, led by Justin Houston, who should be back in this game, and Tom Bahali, who got back last week against Oakland, he'll be back. They'll be at full strength in that 10-game winning streak, an NFL best +16 turnover differential for the Chiefs to close out the regular season. They allowed just an average of 12.8 points per game. And then on the other hand, you've got the Texans with J.J. Watt, the sublime J.J. Watt, 17.5 sacks, leads the NFL. And the Texans have the best third down defense in the NFL, only allowing conversions on 28.5% of opponent third down. So absolutely, the defenses are the headlines here.
And one matchup that might sneak under the radar here, Gil, is the matchup between DeAndre Hopkins, an outstanding wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and Marcus Peters, who has really impressed me and numerous other avid watchers of the National Football League at cornerback. And I'm looking forward to seeing those two go head-to-head on Saturday night as well.
It is a very good matchup. You're absolutely right. Great matchup. I think both under the radar from a national level, not really a name that you know off the top of your head. And especially that's especially interesting when it comes to a guy like Hopkins, who is really one of the elite NFL wide receivers, but probably still doesn't, outside of, maybe the casual fan doesn't consider him yet quite in that elite group, but I think he absolutely belongs there. And to the extent that Brian Hoyer can get the football to him, that'll go a long way towards determining how the Texans fare here. By the way, so much of this season for the Chiefs and the Texans has been the fact that they've both played kind of inferior competition. So scheduling-wise, we don't know much about either team. Houston's benefited from playing in the AFC South, which the champions of. And KC, even in that 10-game winning streak, they've only really played two teams of repute, and both of those teams were shorthanded along the way. So all of those matchups, all of these individual matchups, are going to really go a long way towards determining what happens here. And in our handicap, we really haven't seen these teams play against competition like this really often at all. So this will be interesting.
It's worth noting that these two teams met back in week one of the National Football League as well, and the Kansas City Chiefs came out on top at 27-20. And one of the keys to success in that match was the pressure they managed to get on Brian Hoyer. I just wondered, Gil, whether you think they'll be able to get to the Texans quarterback on this occasion.
I think they will. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that they will. The issue with the Texans is they have no running game to speak of. Alfred Blue has not been a solid replacement for Arian Foster. It hasn't worked out that well. It's a team that needs to get something from Hoyer. By the way, Hoyer is no slouch. You know, he is an experienced guy at this point. And I think the Chiefs, while on paper on their history, you know, when the Chiefs have been in the playoffs, by the way, historically the Chiefs have an 8-game losing streak in the playoffs. Doesn't mean anything with this outfit of the Chiefs, but it's been 22 years since they've last won a playoff game, and in those 8 games that they've lost, they've played nothing but Hall of Fame or potential Hall of Fame quarterbacks: Jim Kelly, Dan Marino, John Elway, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck. So they've got to be, as a fan base, thrilled to be facing a guy like Brian Hoyer. But Hoyer is not a horrible quarterback, and I think, yes, they'll get to him, but again, as long as that Texans defense can generate stops, perhaps turnovers themselves, and get Hoyer in favorable situations, he'll do enough here, I think, to keep it within the number and maybe even get the Texans an outright win. This is a team that's used to winning playoff games over the last several seasons in the NFL, not necessarily with Hoyer at quarterback, but he's competent.
Leaning the Texans then here on the money line at 6-4 and +3 at even money. That's the way you are leaning, Gil, but not a confident selection.
It's confident. I mean, I'm going with the Texans. That's where my money will be. Listen, much of this Chiefs streak, in fact, the first 8 games of this 10-game streak, it included a league-high 10.5 points off turnovers. And when they didn't generate turnovers the last couple weeks against Oakland and Cleveland, two franchises that aren't scaring anybody, especially in the case of Cleveland, those were much closer games. And now they face a Texans team that has only allowed 20 points off turnovers in the last 9 games. So that's Hoyer's strength. They're not a team that coughs it up often. So can they get to him? Yes. But his ability to not turn the ball over, to protect the football, I think is the key here. And KC, reliant on those turnovers, might not find a willing participant in the Texans.
Very good. That's the Chiefs at the Texans, Saturday 9:35 p.m. here in the UK. The early hours of Sunday morning sees the Pittsburgh Steelers go to the Cincinnati Bengals. This is scheduled for 1:15 a.m. Sunday morning. The Steelers are 4-6 on the money line here with William Hill. The Bengals are 13-10 and the spread is set at 3. The Steelers -3 at 20-21 and the Bengals +3 at 20-23. This is a matchup, Gil, that we are used to in the NFL, and the Bengals looking to end one of the most notorious postseason runs in NFL history on Saturday night. They've lost 7 in a row in the postseason, but this time it's not Andy Dalton under center, or it probably won't be Andy Dalton under center. It will be AJ McCarron for the Bengals. How much of a drop off is AJ McCarron when you compare him to Andy Dalton, and how has that affected the spread and the handicapping perspective here, Gil?
Well, it's definitely affected the spread. I mean, that's for sure. I think of the four spreads, this is the most curious. The fact that the Steelers are 3-point favorites on the road against a 12-4 Bengals team, which can obviously be directly traced to the fact that it's AJ McCarron instead of Andy Dalton. And look, you know, you mentioned that the Bengals haven't won a playoff game in 25 years. I think more specifically with a guy like AJ McCarron, the stat to think about historically speaking anyway is that no quarterback with so little starting experience as McCarron has won a playoff game since a gentleman by the name of Gifford Nielsen did with the Houston Oilers back in 1979. So guys like McCarron simply don't win playoff games. That's been the history in the NFL. But I will say this for McCarron, in his very brief time here in the NFL, you know, few starts. That's it. But he's looked pretty good. And the game at Denver on Monday night, the first half of that game, he was phenomenal. Now, it changed in the second half. They threw some other things at him. But McCarron has certainly been serviceable, to say the least. And I think getting 3 points at home here, I think the Bengals are the play for sure. You're going to give me 3 points on a team that take McCarron out of the picture, and I know quarterback's obviously the most important thing in the world, but this is a solid football team all the way around, and I think McCarron has shown me enough to definitely make the play on the Bengals here.
And this Steelers defense, skill definitely has holes in it. I know that they've had 48 sacks this season, and that trails only Denver and New England in the NFL, and their 17 interceptions was tied for sixth, but they gave up an average of 363.1 yards, which ranks for 21st in the league, and that's just ahead of one other playoff team. So they can be exploited, this Steelers defense.
They can be exploited. It is the quintessential bend, don't break defense, right? Exactly what you described. Turnovers, the picks have bailed them out. They give up a whole bunch of yards, and they sort of rely on, well, you know, even if we do that, when it counts, we make the stops. Well, you know, that has a shelf life, I think. It gets to a point where you run up against somebody, and you're just not going to be that fortunate every week. It's not going to be that sustainable, and I think this is the week for that. The real issue to me, though, is perhaps on the other side of the ball, which is, you know, this notion of Big Ben and the Steelers, and we famously talked about on this show, and by the way, again, two streaky teams, right, like we were talking about before. Steelers were 4-4. They won 6 of their last 8. Bengals 8-0 before splitting, going 4-4 the second half of the season. We talked about here on this show about how weeks 10 through 15, how great the Steelers' offense was. 6 straight games, they scored at least 30 points. It's a franchise record for as many games to do that. They averaged 35 points a game over that span. But the real deal with Big Ben is this. He only had 10 picks weeks 1 through 14. Now, I understand he didn't play a couple of those games, but 10 picks in that entire span. He's had 6 picks in the last 3 weeks. He, against the Bengals in both of the games against Cincinnati, 1 touchdown and 4 picks. And he leads the NFL in picks over the second half of the season. He actually led the league in interceptions with 11. So really, the Steelers' offense is the issue here, because not only is there no Le'Veon Bell, Dave, But there's also no D'Angelo Williams. D'Angelo Williams with a right foot injury last week, which is a huge injury for the Steelers, because now behind Big Ben is Fitzgerald Toussaint. Don't worry, we haven't heard of him either. Fitzgerald Toussaint was on the Ravens practice squad in 2014. He was on the Steelers practice squad until late November this year. He actually went to the University of Michigan. We know him from college in the U.S. primarily. But just to give you an idea what a drop-off this is, and he was not good last week, by the way, Toussaint. But the Steelers' leading rushers this year are Bell and D'Angelo, obviously, are the top two. But it's Michael Vick who's third. So, you know, that gives you an idea. Wow. Michael Vick, who's the backup quarterback. So Big Ben's got that behind him. By the way, it's D'Angelo first, Le'Veon Bell second, obviously. But then Mike Vick is third. So you've got no real proven commodity behind Big Ben. He's already shown a propensity to throw picks and not protect the football here in the second half of the season. And you're going into Cincinnati in a playoff game. And I know the Bengals' playoff history has been terrible. But, man, I don't know. If the Bengals, they don't really have to fear the run. That's a recipe for a disaster for the Steelers, especially when Big Ben's not getting any production out of Martavis Bryant either. So it'll be tough for the Steelers, I think, here.
That's a good point about Bryant as well, because the last couple of weeks he's only had four receptions. And even though we know Antonio Brown is, if not the best receiver in the NFL, in the top five, he needs a foil, doesn't he? He needs someone else to be producing with him so he can get space on the field. And Martavis Bryant, I think Ben Roethlisberger, if not has called him out in public, has certainly, I reckon, done so privately, Gil, because he needs Bryant to step up this week.
Well, yeah, and there's that report, right, where he said he's got to get tougher.
Yes.
Which is some sort of veiled shot at the fact that he was limited against the Browns due to illness. And he's had only two catches on four targets in the last 2 weeks. So he's not even...
He's not even had four receptions.
Yeah. So, you know, he didn't score the last four games after scoring 14 times in his first 17 games. So he was a touchdown machine, and then all of a sudden, nothing. So, yeah, without him, you know, unless they get something from him, boy, I mean, Antonio Bryant is just phenomenal. He's the best receiver in the NFL for my money. Yeah. I'm never going to say anything bad about that guy. But, yeah, after a while, it's sort of that New England thing, right, where you lose so many weapons that, you know, it's Brady and Gronk on an island, and now with Big Ben, you wonder, Jesus, is it just Big Ben and Antonio Bryant on an island? And if that's the case, that's just not a team you want to bet on, especially with the defense that we just described as being bend, don't break, even with A.J. McCarron being the opposing quarterback.
And one other point with the Bengals as well is they are difficult to beat down the field, and that's where the Steelers and their much vaunted offense is best, really, taking deep shots. And Cincinnati have the defense to be able to deal with that, Gil.
They do. I don't have that advanced stat in front of me. I have it for other teams. But, yes, the Bengals have limited the big plays. That's been a key to their defense. Look, you know, one of the things about the Bengals, and this gets lost in the fact that people love to say, well, it doesn't matter. Anything the Bengals do doesn't matter. Let's see what they do in the playoffs. People are very quick. It's a sort of lazy dismissal of the Bengals. But the truth is that as a football team, top to bottom, talent-wise, both sides of the ball, they're about as good as any team is in the NFL. And Dalton's postseason woes sort of put that aside for people. But if you just look at this team talent-wise, Bengals are as talented as any team in the NFL, and that applies to the defense as well. Now, they have given up a share of the touchdown passes on defense, for sure, but not necessarily of the long variety as a rule. So to me, this really comes down to the fact that it's what can Fitzgerald Toussaint give the Steelers behind Big Ben? Can Big Ben protect the ball? If the Steelers can get positive results in either of those two categories, I think they've got a shot here for sure, because that's going to be the key. But if they can't get either of those going, if they can't get a running game going, and if Big Ben starts turning it over, I think that makes things so much easier for A.J. McCarron. And the Bengals are solid, man. Mm-hmm. Bengals are solid. and I love them getting 3 points at home.
Are the Bengals 13-10 on the money line, plus three at 20-23. And we move on to Sunday's wild card matches, and we start with the Seattle Seahawks at the Minnesota Vikings, scheduled for 6:05 on Sunday here in the UK. The Seahawks 5-12 on the money line. The Vikings are 2-1. And the match spread, the Seahawks minus 5.5 at 10-11. The Vikings plus 5.5 at 10-11. And the total points is set at 39.5. Under is 10-11 and over is 10-11. I suppose the first thing we need to broach here, Gil, is the weather, because this could be one of the coldest games ever played in the National Football League, and I suppose that affects things. How it affects things, I'm not so sure, Gil, but it will be difficult for both teams to get anything going offensively if it's as cold as predicted.
Yeah, the total went down from 42.5 to 39.5 based on the weather, and the forecast for Sunday calls for a temperature of about 0 degrees Fahrenheit, which if you put in your Fahrenheit to Celsius converter, Dave, comes out to minus 18 Celsius. That's without wind. That's just what the temperature will be. And you're right. You know, what does that mean? Does the cold affect, you know, the football players out there? Obviously it does, but not to the extent that wind does. You know, wind really can affect the team that is reliant on the passing game. What is the effect of cold? And, you know, the implication is that the team that's not used to that cold will be the one that's most affected. But the truth is that the Vikings have been indoors. This franchise has been indoors for, you know, since 1981 until these past couple seasons. And, you know, I don't know that the Vikings are a team that won't be affected by the cold either. Now, there is something about the sideline. If it's sunny that day, the Vikings are on the sunny side of the field. They're on the north side. And some analysis tells you that the Vikings sideline could be as much as 20 degrees warmer in the sunshine than that of the visiting team, in this case, the Seahawks. So if it is sunny, maybe there's some argument to be made that the Vikings will be sun splash and it'll be easier for them to thaw out, if you will. But generally speaking, what gets affected most by just sheer cold, wind aside, let's say there's no wind, cold is really affecting kickers more than anything. And you think, which of these two teams relies more on their field goal kicker? It's the Vikings with Blair Walsh. In fact, Bill Barnwell of ESPN.com did a great story about this, talking about how the fact that there are only five teams, who produced more field goals than offensive touchdowns this year, and the Vikings are one of those teams. With Walsh kicking 34 field goals, Teddy Bridgewater's offense generating only 32 touchdowns. So, I don't know. That's the thing that might be the most affected by the weather alone. It's the Vikings kicking game.
We need to talk about that matchup in December as well, Gil, because the Seahawks battered the Vikings. They were dominant in every single area, as the scoreboard suggested, at the end of the match as well. That surely had a big influence on the handicapping of this game. They completely obliterated the Vikings in that matchup.
38-7 was a destruction of the Vikings. Russell Wilson that day was just spectacular. 96.2 QBR out of 100, 21 of 27, 3 touchdowns and no picks. Teddy Bridgewater, on the other hand, just 118 yards, no touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked 4 times, and he had an 11.6 QBR. Again, that's out of 100. But those 4 sacks really is representative of what has been going on with Bridgewater throughout here over the last 8 games, the second half of the season. Bridgewater's been sacked, Dave, 24 times, and on 9.3% of his dropbacks for the season. That's the third highest mark in the league. That, to me, not only did it happen, you know, in spades in that one game against the Seahawks, but that gives you an indication that this is a problem for the Seahawks beyond that one day. And against a defense like the Seahawks, it's obviously going to come out. By the way, last week, you know, the Vikings won the NFC North with that win at Green Bay. Big win for that franchise. But in doing so, Bridgewater only threw for 99 yards.
Yes.
So, and, you know, and he can't get the ball downfield. And now he's going up against a Seahawks team that is 5-0 in their last five road games. They've outscored opponents 142-34 on the road over those five games. That's despite a +1 turnover differential. So imagine that. They're beating teams on the road in the last five games 142-34, and they're not even really getting the benefit of turnovers. They're just doing it face-to-face without stealing the ball from them. Over the last three road wins, 109-19 on the scoreboard. So, you know, look, there's a reason why the Seahawks are favored by 4.5 or 5 right here. I think they're the best team in the NFL. Imagine that. They're the sixth and final seed in the NFC, but I believe them to be the best team in the NFL. And I think this is a good matchup for the Seahawks in every way. That amazing defense. And by the way, this is only the, I believe it's the first time, yeah, it's the first time that a defense has won the points title 4 straight seasons. First time since the 1970 merger, that is.
Wow.
And they've held opponents to just 11 points per game over the last 5 games. I mean, you hold opponents to 11 points a game, you're going to win pretty much every time out.
For full transparency, Gil, for those Minnesota Viking fans out there listening, and for those people that are thinking about having a bet on the Minnesota Vikings this weekend, it is worth mentioning that nose tackle Linval Joseph and free safety Harrison Smith didn't play in that first meeting with the Seahawks back in December, and in particular, Linval Joseph is key to this franchise and their success at getting to Russell Wilson in this match. I think he's going to be an integral cog for the Vikings this weekend.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you what, the Vikings have a good young defense that they can rely on here for years to come. They are going to be a real force defensively, for sure. And do I think that they'll comport themselves better than the 38-7 final score that they did the first time when they played Seattle? Absolutely, I do. I don't expect it to be that big of a blowout. But the biggest key for the Minnesota Vikings is Adrian Peterson.
Yes.
And Adrian Peterson, you know, when they played the Seahawks the first time, 8 carries, 24 yards. So despite the fact that he's the only, you know, he's the only 1,000-yard rusher this year to get to the playoffs, it's just the team you don't want to play. You know, we talked about it on your podcast, Dave, for the last half of the season, I think, where I sort of said midway, I'm like, the Seahawks, and I said the Steelers as well, the teams you don't want to play in the playoffs. Well, I think the Seahawks are really the team you don't want to play in the playoffs. And that was sort of the funny part about winning the NFC North last Sunday night for the Vikings. Your reward, a home game against the Seahawks. Congratulations. And I think it's tough in that respect. You know, let's talk about a positive for the Vikings. Fifth best third down defense in the NFL, getting back to your defensive point. So one of Seattle's strengths has been keeping the ball, not being taken off the field, because they're the fourth best third down offense in the NFL. But the Vikings defense has really performed well on third downs. And so they will, you know, they're going to have to keep up that rate, get the Seahawks off the field. Now, this is a Seahawks offense that's going to have Marshawn Lynch back as well.
Yep.
So they got to deal with that. How much he'll play, how effective he'll be, we can only see. But the task is a tall one, but Minnesota's going to have to perform well on third downs to have any shot here.
Yeah, and the formula has been simple for the Vikings this season, really, Gil. You mentioned Adrian Peterson there. When they can establish the run, they win games. When they can't establish the run, they get beaten, and they're going up against the top ranked run defense in the National Football League on Sunday night. So that is going to be the key. If Peterson can get it going on the ground, they've got a chance. If he can't, they're unlikely to beat you through the air.
It's absolutely right. And look, the Minnesota Vikings this past summer when I was in Las Vegas, they were the choice of Las Vegas professional bettors consensus-wise in terms of what was the best season win totals over pick. And you know what? They shattered their season win total. I think it was 7.5, and it might have gone up to 8, but 11-5. What a season for the Vikings. And I mentioned how streaky all of these teams are in the wild card round. Seattle streaky as well, by the way. You know, they started 2-4 and won 8 of their last 10. Minnesota was the one team of these 8 teams playing this weekend that was just kind of good the whole season. They weren't streaky at all. They were just a solid football team from beginning to end, and they have nothing but pride and should have pride in the way they've performed this season. I just think they've run into the wrong team here. 5 points is a lot, though, and a lot of, you know, they can still lose and cover. I just don't think they will. I think Seattle's too strong, and I think Seattle gets the cover.
Seahawks minus 5.5, 10 to 11 here with William Hill. And we finish with the Green Bay Packers at the Washington Redskins, 9:40 on Sunday evening here in the UK. The Packers 10 to 11, the Redskins 10 to 11 on the money line. The match spread, plus one, the Packers 20 to 23. Minus one, the Redskins 20 to 21. So in essence, this is a pick'em to complete wild card weekend. And Gil, I think we've got to address the elephant in the room first of all, because we've both talked disparagingly about Kirk Cousins on this podcast in the past. But boy, has he been impressive down the stretch here for the Washington Redskins, Gil.
He's been spectacular. Look, I mentioned this on my podcast before the season started. I predicted that the Redskins would go 2-5 before their bye week, and that Jay Gruden, their head coach, would be fired, and that the owner would step in, he would bench Kirk Cousins and put back in RG3. Well, after six games, the Redskins were 2-4. I was on the cusp of being exactly right. Game seven came in. The Redskins trailed 24-0 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And as I said on my show, what a smug guy I was at that moment. It's all coming exactly how I predicted. And then Kirk Cousins went crazy. Up until that point, he had literally been on a historical rate of turnovers. He was a pick machine, 24 touchdowns, 27 picks up to that point in his career. Since then, 23 touchdowns against, 3 interceptions, 11 scores without a pick over his last 3 games. He's been unbelievable. He leads the league in completion percentage since week 7, since that moment, 72.4 completion percentage, a passer rating of 119.1. That's out of like 158. That leads the league since week 7. It just turned on its head, and he's going to get paid. He's going to get a huge contract from the Redskins, and he deserves it. I mean, he's gone from this guy, and I even said it at the time back then, you know, 80% of the time, even back then, he did great things, but then he would just erase it with these awful turnovers. And it's like he pressed the button and they're just not happening anymore. And the Redskins have been the beneficiaries. You know, they started out 2-4, 7 of 10 down the stretch. They win the NFC East at 9-7.
It's as if there's been a body swap between him and Aaron Rodgers, Gil, because their two seasons have trended in different directions, because Rodgers has been, he's been pretty poor recently. I know it's not all down to Rodgers. They can't protect him in the backfield and he doesn't have the receivers to throw to, but he will be disappointed with his numbers this season.
And, you know, it's sort of the Yoko Ono thing. If you're in Green Bay, there's a huge faction of people that think it's because his girlfriend has taken his attention away. His beautiful girlfriend, the actress Olivia Munn, by the way, it's the worst season of Rodgers' career, at least in terms of seasons that he has been the starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, not including when he was on the bench. This is his worst full season. He's been sacked, and this, of course, not his fault necessarily, but this is a commentary on just how decimated the Green Bay Packers offensive line has been. He's been sacked 35 times. That's an NFL high since week 8. Since week 8, 35 times, 13 times in just the last two games. Packers started out 6-0. They went 4-6 down the stretch. And keep in mind, when they went 4-6, one of those was that Hail Mary game against the Lions. So really it should be 3-7 down the stretch. He has posted a passer rating in the 70s after having a 115.9 mark during those first six games, during that 6-0 start. He's only topped 220 yards passing twice in the last seven games. So it's career lows in completion percentage, 60.7, yards per attempt, 6.68, passer rating, 92.7. Things haven't been better with Mike McCarthy calling plays over the last four games, though I guess it was a bit of an uptick against the Vikings last week. So, yeah, across the board, just a bad season by Aaron Rodgers' standards. Now, that said, here's the problem with that. He's still Aaron Rodgers. So, all of that said, it's like, can I see Aaron Rodgers coming in and just lighting up the Redskins' defense, which is banged up in the secondary and gives up a lot of yards on the ground? Absolutely I can. I can absolutely see him doing that. In matter of fact, I mean, I think we're looking at a shootout kind of game, because unlike that temperature in Minnesota, one of the reasons that I was so anxious to come and see this game, besides the fact that it's just a Redskins playoff game, it's going to be balmy here. It's going to be high 50s Fahrenheit. And good football conditions, weather's not going to be an issue. They're going to score a lot of points on both sides of the ball.
Over 45 points is 10-11 in the betting here with William Hill. We've talked about Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers. It's worth highlighting a couple of receivers that have become much more productive, particularly for the Washington Redskins recently. Jordan Reed, a fast-improving tight end, has emerged as Cousins' favourite target. And Pierre Garçon has scored a touchdown pass in each of his last three starts. Jordan Reed, Gil, has been very impressive recently.
Jordan Reed is no, this is no surprise to any Redskins fan, Dave. Jordan Reed, from the moment he stepped on an NFL football field, has been unstoppable. The only thing that has stopped him is his injuries. He is the most brittle guy in the world before this season. So he would play two, three games and he'd get hurt. You know, just imaginary injuries would just occur to this guy. This is the year where he has stayed on the field. And when DeSean Jackson came back midseason, that just made him that much more effective, because Sean just spreads the field, just makes it wide open for a guy like Reed. It's the reason why I actually lean Redskins in this game. Again, this is a spread that started out as a pick'em. When I did my show midweek, the Packers were a one-point favorite. I think now, actually, the Redskins might be a one-point favorite.
Yes, they are just about, yeah.
Generally, it's a coin flip. But I would lean Redskins, and it's the Jordan Reed factor, because I don't think the Packers have any answer for him. And literally, it's one, the Redskins are one of these teams where when you watch them on offense, you ask yourself, why do they not pass the ball to Reed every single play? It's amazing how unstoppable he is. Alfred Morris is going to be the Redskins guy in the backfield, which is, I think, for me, is big, because Matt Jones, who Jay Gruden wants to become, you know, the heir apparent badly and is apparently the Redskins running back of the future. Well, that's great, but Matt Jones fumbles the football. Alfred Morris does not. So key for the Redskins to have Alfred Morris in the backfield, just from a, you know, ability to protect the football standpoint. But yeah, DeSean Jackson, Jordan Reed specifically, I don't think the Packers have any answer for them.
Everything looks set for the Redskins, Gil, and I wish you the best of luck. I've just got that nagging doubt in the back of my mind, Gil, that in a quarterback league, it's a pick'em here, and it's still Aaron Rodgers versus Kirk Cousins, and I cannot shake that, Gil.
Yeah, no, you know what? You're absolutely right not to shake that. Look, I can't shake it either. I can't shake it either. Listen, 11 of the 12 playoff teams gave up 20.2 points or less. You know who the team that gave up more is? The Redskins, 23.7. And the thing with the Redskins is this. Look, they're 1-4. You know, people want to talk about how great the Redskins are. Trust me, no one bets against the Redskins more than I do, right? And the Skins were 1-4, this team, straight up against teams that were 500 or better. And that one was against a team that was actually 500. So in other words, in playing the Packers, the Redskins are looking for their first win against a team that has a winning record this year. So make no mistake, this is a flawed football team, the Redskins are. But it's sort of their fate, and this is where, you know, the Vikings fans get the shaft here, winning their division. The Vikings, for winning their division and going 11-5, have to play the Seattle Seahawks, third seed playing a sixth seed, the best sixth seed you'll ever see in your life in the Seahawks. The Redskins, who haven't beaten a winning team all year, winning the NFC East, get to play the only other truly flawed team in the playoffs, in the Packers. So the Redskins are just real beneficiaries, as are the Packers, by the way, in getting to play their opponent. And whoever wins this game, whether it's the Packers or the Redskins, and trust me, if the Redskins, it's going to be ugly. Whoever wins this game next week, if they go to Arizona or Carolina, are just going to get smoked. And that spread is going to be indicative of that. But this is the game where they can actually stare at each other across the line of scrimmage and say, we can actually beat this team.
four cracking matchups for Wild Card Weekend. Gil Alexander, always a pleasure speaking to you, Gil. I have my fingers and toes crossed for the Washington Redskins this weekend. Enjoy that match at FedEx Field, and we'll catch up next week, Gil.
Dave, always a pleasure. Enjoy the games. Everybody, good luck with the bets.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.